Someone standing in the way of our seal. Try to make excuses. There's any failure tonight, there's no excuses in the fall.
God bless you, brother.
There's anything good for us tonight to come from the Lord. You know that.
Amen.
You have your Bibles and want to look with us. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3 tonight. Talks in different ways and seasons. Come back to Genesis chapter 3. Come back to get after human matter this afternoon. Let's try our best. Listen, I know a lot of times we talk about praying, we talk about digging, we talk about searching, but really what it boils down to is just listening for the voice of God.
Amen.
That's who I need to hear from. That's who you need to hear from. That's who we all need to hear from. God help us. He said, be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
I tell you, we need to hear His voice. So pray to that end tonight.
Amen.
Pray that God will just take us and use us and speak to us. That He'd come down, just like He told Moses there one day. He said, I will come. He said, gather all them together. And He said, I will come down in the midst and talk with thee there. And I tell you, would that God would do that tonight. Mm-hmm. He'd come down. He's desiring to. I believe that.
Yeah.
I don't believe there's ever a time that God doesn't have something to say to us.
Right.
But you know, sometimes we just don't want to hear His voice. And if we don't and continually won't, then He'll stop speaking.
Yeah.
He spoke to Saul for a little while.
Right.
And Saul turned away from Him. And then when he wanted to hear from God, he wasn't hearing a thing.
Yeah.
I tell you, that ought to scare us.
Yes, sir.
God help us tonight. Genesis chapter 3. We just... They'll look with us down here at verse number 9. This will be very familiar to you, I know. We read just three words here in the latter part of this verse. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 9. The Word of God says, where art thou?
Yeah.
So you pray tonight.
Amen.
Nothing more than just a be used of God. That's all that we can desire tonight. But hearing this, I know that you're well aware of this. This is after that God had created man, placed him in the garden, gave him charge over all that. The only thing that had been commanded of him, you might say, was to keep the garden and to dress it and to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit of that. For he said, the day that you do, you will die. And we know that at this point, already Satan has come. He has beguiled Eve. She's partaken of it, gave to her husband, and he did eat. And you know, friend, if you read in this, I know that you know this well tonight, that God had come in the cool of the day. He'd come into the garden, and he'd talk with Adam. And he's come this day, and he says, where art thou? That's the question we'd like for us to ponder on tonight is, where am I? Where am I? The Lord asked of him, where art thou?
Yeah.
You know, it'd be a lot better for you and I that we would ponder on where am I before God has to say, where art thou?
Amen.
Now, you know, it wasn't, you know this well tonight, it wasn't that God didn't know what had happened. It wasn't that God didn't know exactly where Adam, Eve, and all the rest were at.
Yeah.
But it was that He was bringing to Adam's attention, where are you?
Yeah.
And you know here that Adam goes on to say, I heard your voice in the garden and I hid myself. And I tell you, friend, I'm afraid a lot of times that's what happens in our lives. We hear the voice of God. And we'll hide ourselves from the presence of God. It happens tonight. And I appreciate you, Pastor, singing that song tonight. It fit very well with what's on our heart. The very first words of that song, brethren, we have met to worship.
Yeah.
And I wonder tonight, friend, is that where we are?
Yeah. Right.
I know that if I said, you know, where are you? All of us tonight would say, well, I'm here seated on the pew at Community Chapel. You see me. I'm here. But friend, where does God see us at tonight?
Yeah.
Where are we really spiritually tonight? Are we gathered here tonight, friend, to truly worship God? Are we truly in a spirit of worship tonight? Friend, the Bible tells us there's many spirits that we're to try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. And friend, I tell you, many be the time in my life I've come down to the church house. You know what, friend? I wasn't there. Physically, I was there.
Right.
But friend, my thoughts and my heart and my mind and my attention and my devotion and my affection set on things outside of the church, not even really desiring to hear from God, not even a thought about hearing from God. But I tell you, friend, thank God that He, as was read to us tonight, He knows our frame. He's not dealt with us even as according unto our sin. Thank God that He's a merciful God. But you know, friend, God doesn't, He doesn't desire, friend, and long and ache after the thought, friend, of bringing chastisement on mine in your life. But friend, just like with Adam here, friend, he come out and he said, where art thou? And friend, tonight, would that you and I would look at our hearts. You know, David said to the Lord one day, search me, O God, and know me. Try my way. See if there be any wicked way in me. But he'd also said, I will take his words, I'll hide them in my heart, I'll make them a lamp under my feet, a light under my path, that I have not sinned against God. But you know, friend, even we find one day that the disciples, Jesus, had come into a place, many of them, friend, they didn't have no desire for him. It was obvious, friend, that they didn't want him anywhere around, didn't want to be in his presence. And the disciples said, Lord, would you have us call down fire from heaven, as the prophet did, and consume them? But you know, friend, Jesus said, ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. Do we realize and really see tonight where we are? Can we consider that tonight? Is it important to us enough tonight to look at our own life and see where we are with God? Are we really truly in love with God? Are we really truly seeking and desiring and walking in the will of God, longing for that? Are we hungering for the Word of God? Are we really, friend, are we really, really in love with God?
Amen, Brian.
A lot of people, and you just pray, because I told you I don't know how to go tonight. Honestly, a lot of times we may think we've got verse after verse and scripture after scripture, and it not be anything at all that the Lord would have us to use. But friend, tonight, God, friend, He looks at you and I. That's what we need to realize, that even sitting here tonight, friend, God is looking at you and I. God is searching our heart. God is trying the reins of our life, friend. And listen, we find over our friend, as again, Adam, I tell you, Adam was the son of God. You know that? The Bible said he was the son of God.
Yes.
Created by God. We know that. Believe that, friend. Took the dust of the earth, formed and shaped man, and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man, the Bible said, became a living soul. And friend, you know what? God, Satan come unto them, and he said, he said, if God, you're not surely die if you eat of that tree. You'll be just like God, knowing good from evil. And friend, they had been made and created in the likeness of God. You know what? They went from a place of peacefulness and rest, and friend, really a place, if we'd have it, of ease, to a place, friend, they had begun to dig and to labor, and by the sweat of their brow begin to try and bring forth something for themselves. That ground, he said, that had brought forth good, he said, now it'll bring forth thorns.
Yeah.
It'll bring forth thorns. Friend, is that where we find ourselves at tonight? Are we living our life right in the midst of a bunch of thorns? Is it always something gouging at our life? I tell you, friend, we say, well, that means we're just like Paul, that we had a thorn in the flesh. I tell you, friend, there's a difference in having a thorn in the flesh and living and dwelling in the midst of briars and thorns. And everything that we're working after, friend, just brings heartache and sorrow and nothing that we can eat of.
Right.
Friend, I tell you, God, I know this tonight. We don't work for salvation.
No.
We cannot work for salvation.
No.
But I say this, friend, tonight, we have entered, He saved you and I unto good works. We are even entered into the labors of others. And I wonder tonight, friend, how does the world see us today?
Yeah.
Do we have the same appearance today to the world and to those around us as the church did in days gone by? Do we look, and I know that we could, and listen, this is a dangerous thing.
Listen.
If we say, do you look like a Christian? Do you walk like a Christian? Do you talk like a Christian? Yeah. I tell you, friend, we need to be careful. There are many things that walk like a Christian, like a Christian, talk like a Christian, and I tell you, friend, they are of the devil.
Right.
I don't believe that, preacher. I don't believe that can happen. I tell you, friend, I read when He said that in that day that there'd be many would stand there and say unto Him, Lord, Lord, did we not do many mighty good works in Thy name? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do all these things? And He said, I will say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Do we know tonight, really know in our heart where we are?
Right.
Amen. Do you know tonight, do I know tonight where I really am?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you the only way that you and I can know is God shows.
That's right.
The Bible said every man's way is right in his own eyes.
Yeah.
Our world today believes that as long as you go to church, as long as you name the name of Jesus, as long as you got your name on the roll, as long as the preacher said to you the words to say and you repeated that prayer and they baptized you and they put you in the church and you believe in God, they say you're going to heaven. Many a place will tell us that today. But I tell you, friend, where does God see us?
Right.
Again, friend, God knew right where Adam was. God didn't have to come down and walk through that garden to find out where He wasn't going around looking and searching. And I don't know where He's at. This is where we usually met at. He's not here today. God knew exactly where Adam was at.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, friend, Adam, the Bible said they took and sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. And you know what, friend? They thought they were hid.
Right.
And even Adam said this. You know what, Adam, I hadn't thought about this at all, but you know what? Here's proof that Adam didn't know where he's at. Because when the Lord said to him there, in this verse, He says, where art thou? What's the answer that He gives? Where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice. I heard thy voice in the garden.
Yeah.
And I hid myself. Where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself.
Yeah.
You know what, friend? He wasn't hid.
No.
He knew he was afraid. But you know what, friend? He wasn't afraid until he heard the voice of God coming.
Right.
Do you read that fear struck them when they partook of that and they realized they were naked? Did fear come upon them? Well, they just sewed fig leaves together. I tell you, when fear come upon him, was when the voice of God began to come walking. Yeah. When he heard the voice of God, I tell you, friend, do you know that by experience?
Right.
Have you ever been that place, friend, that everything was fine in life? Everything's going good. I'm right where I want to be. That's where I'm at. And you know, friend, tonight, that's exactly where every one of us in this house tonight is at tonight. It's where we want to be. People say, I want to be closer to God. Well, have you ever heard of God telling anybody that desire to draw nigh to Him? No, not for that. No. Right. I don't want people walking close with me. I don't want closeness. Have you ever met people like that in this world? They'd just blatantly say, I don't want people close to me. Right. I don't want people in my life. You ever had somebody say, you ever said this yourself? I just want to be alone right now.
Right.
I tell you, friend, there's more people alone today than realizes.
Right.
They surround themselves with their own thoughts. They surround themselves with their own opinions. I tell you, friend, honestly, they surround themselves with mama's word and daddy's word and grandma's word and grandpa's word and the preacher down at the church and everybody else that tells us that they believe that we're a Christian and believe that we're saved. I tell you, friend, if you don't know that for yourself,
amen,
if God ain't showed you that for yourself, I tell you, friend, you're lost.
Amen, Brian.
If I'm depending on Dean to convince me that I'm saved, I'm in trouble.
That's right.
Dean might convince me that I'm saved.
Yeah.
He might say, you have been in church, you went to church all your life, you believe the Word of God, you believe this, you live this way, you live that way, you're saved, I know you're saved, but I tell you, friend, it ain't got anything to do with what Dean has to say.
Amen.
It's whether or not, the Bible tells us, that whether or not our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Right.
And here's how. And here's where that is.
I'll help you.
Where is those that are saved? Jesus told us in the Word of God, He said, abide in me.
Yes.
Abide in me. He said, you can do nothing without me. He said, except the branch abide in the vine.
Yeah.
You know what will happen to it? It'll wither away. And it'll be trodden of me and cast into the fire. A friend today, they come to you. Remember, I teach men, a lot of times I'm afraid we find ourselves like Jonah was. The Bible said that Jonah, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and he said unto Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh, and I want you to preach these words unto them. Yet 40 days, and I'll overthrow the city. And you know what? Do you find Jonah immediately into Nineveh? I don't know. We find him. He went down to Tarsus, bought himself a ticket, headed that way. And you know what, friend? Went down to Joppa, I believe it was, bought his ticket for Tarsus. He's on a ship. The storm begins to roll. Everybody else is crying out unto their God. And you know what they do? They come. You know where Jonah was?
Yeah.
He is where a lot of folks are at in our houses of worship today, asleep.
Just asleep.
Asleep. Whence art thou? That's what they asked him. Whence art thou? You know what that means? Where are you from?
Yeah.
Friend, where did we come from this afternoon, this evening, when we come into the church house? Where did we come from? Did we come from a place of prayer? Did we come from a place seeking after the will of God for this service? Did we come from a place where we... I tell you, is this the day of the Lord, or is just this the hour of the Lord?
Bless him.
We say this is the Lord's day. But you know what God said about us? He said, you take my day and you exact it and use it for your own pleasure.
Yeah. Bless him.
Many people, Sunday is our day of pleasure. Many people today will be at church on Sunday morning. And then when the service lets out, they can't wait to get out of there to head after the pleasures of this world, spend the afternoon indulging in the pleasures of this world, and then we come dragging into church and we expect the man of God or somebody to get up, or mainly expect God to come down and bless us and just to give us something that we just can't contain. But I tell you, a lot of people don't even come for that. Did we come tonight looking and desiring and hungering for the presence of God? Would we leave tonight without hearing the voice of God and be just as happy as we were when we came in? Would we leave tonight without having a word from God that we'd have strength to eat up, a friend meat to eat up, that we could go in the strength of that till maybe we'd come back Wednesday night and get a little more? But I want to say this, friend, today, I don't have to go on that. I don't have to come on Sunday morning and get enough to last me for a month. A friend, I tell you, His Word is ever fresh, ever new, every moment. I tell you, friend, even as they were in the wilderness, as they journeyed there, every single morning when they woke up, there was manna on the ground.
Amen.
To be had. But it was fleeting.
Yeah.
When the sun came up,
yeah,
and shone on it, it was gone. And I tell you, friend, it's no different today. We have that space and time when God would desire to feed us. And if we reject that, we needn't think we'll come in our own time.
Not if.
Well, I read where He's an ever-present help in time of trouble.
Yeah.
I tell you, friend, it's amazing. We haven't considered Him any other time,
right,
until trouble comes. And then we want to try and get in touch with Him.
Yeah.
I tell you, friend, you know what? Again, God didn't have to search for Adam. And I tell you, friend, I'm afraid a lot of times we spend more time trying to find God in our life than we should have to.
Right.
And you know whose fault it is? It's mine. I tell you, friend, if I can't get, and I'm going to tell you this, I'm not foolish tonight. I know that it ain't every time that as soon as our knees bend and we bow our head or humble our heart or close our eyes, that right away immediately we're there with God. I tell you, friend, sometimes it takes some agonizing.
Yeah.
You know what's usually the problem? I ain't there.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Have you ever got it, that place that's supposed to be a place of prayer? We had an altar of prayer a while ago. What was going on?
Right.
Was your mind thinking about other things?
It was, man.
Was your mind thinking about what you'd been into the day? Was your mind on what you were going to do when you got out of here? Or was I really at the feet of God, pouring out my heart like little Hannah did? When she went in, I tell you, the man of God thought she was drunk.
Yeah.
He said, don't be like them other women. Don't be drunken. She said, oh, I'm not drunk. She said, I'm of a sorrowful spirit. I have poured out my heart before God. You know what? There was a woman who was more where she ought to be than the man who was standing there as the man of God.
Amen. Yep.
Sadly, friend, there's many of our churches today. I'm not saying here. I'm just speaking in general. There are churches across our land today where there are people sitting on the pew who are closer to God than the man in the pulpit trying to lead the flock.
Amen.
There are Sunday school teachers a lot of times who are more in tune and in touch with God and are in the Spirit of God than a lot of times preachers are.
Amen.
And you know, a lot of times, friend, I'll just tell on the flip side, there's a lot of times come down to the house of God and the only person even desiring and walking in the Spirit and in the presence of God is the man in the pulpit and nobody else in the church house. I don't believe that. I tell you, friend, it happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
Where are we tonight?
Amen.
Where are we? I tell you, friend, we, as a whole, I would have to say tonight, and I ought to speak about no one else but myself, I know me better than I know anybody else, and I don't know me as well as God. Does that's the reason why? You know what Adam knew? Adam knew he's in the presence of Eve, his wife. Adam knew he's here in the garden. Adam knew that he has taken fig leaves, sewn them together, made himself an apron. Adam knows that he's hiding himself in the midst of the garden. But God knew exactly where Adam really was.
Yeah.
Fallen from the presence of God.
Yeah.
Away from God. Even when the voice of the Lord came into the garden and called out His name and said, and said unto him, where art thou? You know, let's look at that again. When the voice of the Lord come walking there in the garden in the cool of the day, the Bible says here, And the Lord called unto Adam, and He said unto him, where art thou? Now, I know the Word of God says here that the Lord God called unto Adam. But He doesn't say, Adam, where art thou? He simply says, where art thou?
Right.
Now, I will point out this, and I'm not splitting hairs or trying to twist anything, but you know what Adam said when God put him in that deep sleep, took the rib, closed that up, made the woman. He said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You know what the Bible says? You know what God says about that? He says they are no longer twain, but they are one.
Yeah.
That's why God just said, where art thou?
Yeah.
I tell you, friend, He is speaking unto us, asking of us, where are you?
Yeah.
Have you ever asked anybody that you're standing there looking right at, sitting right beside, you ever looked over at them and say, where are you?
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. You know right what? That's a foolish question. You're together. You know what the Word of God says? How can two walk together except they be agreed? Friend, I'm not going to walk with God if I'm not in agreement with Him. I can't. And as a matter of fact, friend, it ain't only that I can't, I won't. Yep. Do you know that there are people that I grew up around, folks I knew, kids I went to school with, we're grown now, people I used to go to church with years ago, and you know what, friend? I don't ever see them anymore. You know why I don't see a lot of them folks that I went to school with? I'm not in school anymore. You know why we don't see the presence of God manifested in our services like one time did?
Because we're not with Him.
Right. Bless Him, Lord.
I tell you, friend, I know this is different than maybe a lot of times we'd like to hear. But friend, I tell you, if the world is going to see the power of God, they're going to have to see it in the church.
Amen.
And if He's not with us, do we know where God is? If you ask people the question today, where is God? Most people are going to say, well, He's in heaven. I tell you, friend, the answer ought to be not us. I tell you, I was thinking about this. You know, when Abraham told Abram to take his son Isaac. He said, I want you to take him to the mountain I'll show you. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. They gather up. Isaac cleaved the wood himself. If I remember right, maybe Abram did. But I tell you, friend, he put it on Isaac's back.
Yeah.
They're going there. Isaac looks around and he's going to ask his dad a question. He says, Father Abraham, you know what Abraham said? Here am I.
Yeah.
Then he says, here's the wood and here's the fire. But where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb for the sacrifice? You know the answer that Abraham gave him. He said, my son God shall provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. But Abraham said, here am I. When the world begins to start wondering, where is this God that they speak of? Where is this God they say they believe in? Where is this God that they say is real?
Yeah.
From within us, the voice of God should say, here I am.
Right.
Here I am.
Yeah.
We think that it's there. Well, did not Christ say that if any man, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man will open unto me, I will come in, take up my abode with him, I'll sup with him. And you know what Christ is praying unto God the Father? He said, I and thee, thee and me, He said, and they in us. That they be one even as we are one. When the world begins to wonder, where is God? The voice of God ought to be coming out of the heart of the church saying, here I am.
Yeah. Amen.
Now is that unreal to us? Is that foreign to us? Does that sound like the most foolish thing we've ever heard in the world? That the voice of God would cry out from within a person saying, here I am? I tell you, if He lives in me,
right.
I tell you, friend, He'll speak for Himself.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Moses said, who am I going to tell them sent me down here? The Lord said, I am that I am.
Yeah.
When they said, is there any word from the Lord? We would say, Jeremiah said, there is. No, friend, you read the Word of God. Those men were moved by the Holy Ghost of God, and it was the Holy Ghost of God speaking from within him saying, yes, I've got a word for you.
Right.
Yes, I've got a word for you.
Amen.
Would you expect Dean to get in the pulpit and God use him? So then who's speaking? So yes, friend, there's proof that the voice of God can cry from within us saying, here I am.
Right. Yeah. God bless you.
Adam said, I hid myself. I hid myself. I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. God could have easily said, Adam, you weren't hid. You got proof of that? Well, you remember when they went, Jesus is what come unto the city? Philip goes to Nathanael. He says, come, see this man that we've met. This is Christ, this is Jesus of Nazareth. You know what he said? Can any good thing come of Nazareth?
Yeah.
They would say, Jesus, whence art thou, Jesus? They'd say, he's of Nazareth.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, friend, he wasn't just of Nazareth. Oh no, friend, he was God manifested in the flesh. Can anything good come of Nazareth? You know what he comes to our, he told him, he says, He said, before he even called you, I saw you. I saw you. I knew thee before you were ever formed in the womb. I knew thee. Abram, you know what Jesus told him one day? He said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced in it. Abraham will say, oh, well, he walked all around that land over there. God told him that everywhere the sole of his foot stepped upon, it had been given unto his seed. He walked, or he was from a foreign land, but he went to a place, his place of his nativity, if you had, where he was and where he is. Whole different thing. Would to God that it be that in our church houses. There's a lot of people on our church pews that are just right where they were before they ever joined the church.
Right.
I pray that it's not that way here tonight.
Amen.
But I tell you, friend, God knows the heart.
Amen.
God ain't looking to see where I'm sitting at on the church pew tonight. God ain't looking at you and I, friend, as being members of a certain church. As far as that is a visible body, a building, God is looking at our heart.
That's right.
They brought in the sons of Jesse. Here comes the eldest, a strong man. He's already apparently trained in war. Oh, he's come from out of the army itself. He's come out from under some great teachers and trainers. Been taught, no doubt, maybe by the best captains and warriors they've been.
Yeah.
That's where Goliath come from. They said, now Goliath, why, that Saul told David, he said, you ain't nothing but a youth. He said, this man has been a warrior from his youth.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you where David came from. Here's the thing, David hadn't never changed. You say, well, he was out there in the fields keeping the sheep. Then he came down to his father Jesse's house. Then he was back out there keeping sheep. Then Jesse called him to the house, said, take these cheeses, take this. I want you to go down there and see about the battle, check on your brethren, take their charge, come back.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, David ain't no matter where his physical feet were at, David has not changed locations. Right. He's still with God.
Amen.
David walks down there, takes one look out. Everybody else, you know where they're at? They're in fear.
Yeah.
Saul and everybody else is hiding in their tents in fear. They are living in fear. But the Bible said perfect love casteth out fear.
Yeah.
Why was David able to look over there on that mountain and see the same Goliath that everybody's seen and be scared to death of? David takes one look over there and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he defies the armies of the living God? His brother tells him, oh, I know the naughtiness of your heart. You've just come down to see the battle. David says, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? I tell you, friend, David had a heart for God. And you know what he saw? He saw, here is someone defying my God. Here is someone that does not even realize where he's really at. Does he not see that he's actually standing right in the front of the eyes of God Almighty? And God's looking on him, Goliath. You're looking down on everybody else. God's looking on you. Where does David look? I tell you, David ain't looking at Goliath. No. David's looking at God.
Yeah.
Saul said, well, you're just a youth. This man, this Goliath, he's been a warrior from his youth. David said, now we'd say, you know what, he's keeping the flock. David ain't so much interested in that. He says, I was keeping my father's flock. He said, there's a lion and there's a bear come, took a lamb out of the flock, said, I smote him, and when he turned on me, I caught him by the beard and I slew him. Sounds like David's reminiscing about some great things he's done. No, friend, you need to listen on. David said, and the same God that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear shall deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. You know where David's at? David's in the heart of God. David is in the will of God. David is in the presence of God. Everybody else is scared and dead to death and worrying and trembling and quaking.
Yeah.
And I tell you, David is right there in the presence of God. Do you know what he's doing? He's seeing Goliath like God sees Goliath.
Right.
A good judgment of where I am, a good judgment of where you are, is just how big does your problem look to you?
Yeah.
How big does your trial look to you? How big does that temptation look to me? Is it greater than I can overcome? I tell you, friend, I'm in the wrong place.
Yeah.
I'm at the place that I am away from God, and that is between me and God. I'm looking at the problem instead of looking at God.
Right.
I tell you, friend, in the eyes of God, Goliath was nothing. Absolutely nothing. When they went up on the mount that day to pray, Elijah said, all right. He said, let's have a contest, if you want to say that. He said, let's go up. He said, let's prove. He said, if God be God, then let's serve God. If Baal be God, then let's serve Baal.
Yeah.
And I tell you, friend, they were up there. A lot of them had nothing to say. You know what? So many people are sitting, they would say, undecided. There's a lot of people living their life seemingly undecided. For a while they think God's right. They think that this way's right. Then for a little while they think that way's right. And after a while, their own way is right.
Yeah.
Elijah, you know the account of the Word of God? He let them put the altar up. He let them put the bullock on there. Let them arrange everything. He says, you don't put no fire under it. I tell you, friend, when Abraham went with Isaac, they had the wood, they had the fire, and they had no sacrifice.
Yeah.
That day, they get on the mountain over there, and Elijah and all them prophets, they have a sacrifice, the bullock, and they've got the wood, but they ain't got no fire.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, friend, that's the problem with most of our people today. And just to tell it like it is, that's the problem a lot of times in our life. They ain't no fire.
Right.
We've got something to offer, but I'll tell you what the book says. The Word of God says, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now I tell you, friend, either we're conformed, there's a good taste to look at. Am I conformed or am I transformed?
Right.
Being transformed is being overpowered of your own self and being changed into something completely different. Conformed just means you're molded and shaped any old way.
Yeah.
You can take this candle out of this, you can take a lump of clay and you can stick it down in that. Push it down in that, and it'll be conformed to the shape of that. It'll have that roundness, and it'll have that little taper in and out. You can take it out of there. You can put it on this plate over here, and you press her down, and now it's no longer round and up and shaped upward and in long standing tall. Now it's flattened out with a little place dipped in underneath there. And I tell you, friend, there are more people being conformed. That's what's going on in a lot of our churches today.
Right, Brian.
Is they're just trying to conform people into what they call a Christian.
Yeah.
I'll give you another example of that in the Word of God.
Bless you, Lord.
You remember a man by the name of Legion? You know where Legion was? If you asked Legion before he met Jesus, whence comest thou? I go about in the tombs. I dwell among the graves. I live a life naked, going about, cutting myself, doing all manner of things. You know what? There was people come out of the city bound him with chains, with fetters. You know what they were trying to do? They were trying to conform him to their lifestyle. And he break them every time.
Yeah.
But thank God, there's a day when the Lord came by.
Yeah.
And he was no longer dwelling in the tombs. No, he runs down and falls at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I tell you, friend, when they come out of the city, you know where they found him? The Bible said he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, hearing his words. And the Bible said when they saw what had been done, you know what they did? The Bible said they prayed, Jesus, depart from us. Now, you know the Word of God. The Lord left. You read in that book, and it says that man Legion said, Lord, he prayed, the Lord Jesus, let me go with thee. So now, the people of the city are praying, Jesus, depart. The man who God has done a work in his life is praying, Lord, let me go with you. And the people who prayed him leave got their desire. The Lord left. The man Legion, who has been now transformed, prayed that the Lord let him go with him, and the Lord says, no. The Lord says, I want you to go back into the city, and I want you to tell all them what great things the Lord hath done for you. If he went down in the city, friend, he came, the question, the answer would be, I come from the tombs, and I'm a wild man. But if they after that, who are you? Whence comest thou? Whence comest thou?
Yeah.
Oh, I come from the feet of the Master.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, then it would be the Lord answering from within him. Here I am. Look at what I've done to this life. God, you know what? Christ would have done the same thing for all of them. But it's amazing. A man who was considered to be an infidel, a man who was considered to be the worst of the lot, a man who was considered to be one that you don't want anywhere around. Why do you think he's living up there in the tombs? He was miserable. They didn't want him around. And I tell you what, friend, I dare say after the Lord changed his life, I'd say they still didn't want him around. They didn't want him when he is legion. They didn't want him after God done a work in his life. How do you know that? Jesus said this. He says, you think the world's going to love you? He said, when the world hates you, know this, they hated me first. Hated me first. Jesus, he said over there in his word, he said, the servant knoweth not what the master doeth. He said, henceforth I call you no more servants, but I call you friend. And then, friend, here comes one night in the garden. They've done been in the upper room. He's already took and blessed the bread, break it, gave to them, took the cup, blessed it, gave them to drink, told them many times, friend, told them, he told them that night, when he handed them the bread, he said, this is my body. Take and eat. When he handed them the cup, this is my blood. Drink. He told them one day, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. The Bible said many of his disciples, you know what, friend? They were followers till Jesus said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And then they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And the Bible said they turned and they walked with him no more. Christ told them one place, they went out from us that it might be manifest that they are not of us. Friend, today, are we of the family of God? Not are we a member of the church. Not have we been baptized in the creek or the lake or the river or in a baptistry or what. But I tell you, baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's from whence you and I need to be of.
Yeah.
It's of the Holy Ghost, of the Spirit and the power of God. Where are we?
Yeah.
When they asked Jonah, whence comest thou? What's your occupation? What people are you of? He said, I fear the Lord God. If he feared the Lord, what's he doing on that ship? He told them, cast me overboard. They didn't even want to do that. They kept toiling. They threw off the goods of their ship, trying to lighten that ship. And friend, it would not change anything. I tell you right now, we can try and do better. We can try and unload things out of our life. We can try and make our life a lighter thing. We can try and get some of the weight of sin off of us. And I tell you, friend, until God transforms us and changes our location, friend, nothing's going to change.
Amen.
But thank God He does.
Yeah.
I tell you, friend, give us a better life than you and I could have ever picked for ourselves.
Yeah.
Done a better work in our life than we could ever even imagine to do ourselves. But friend, it takes God. You know who had put Adam in the garden? God did.
That's right.
And you know what God did? God drove him out of the garden.
Yep.
Placed an angel with a flaming sword to keep the way of the tree of life.
But I tell you, friend, he didn't deny man access.
Mm-hmm.
No, my friend, I tell you, he came and made the way for us.
Yes.
You don't have to be outside the garden.
No.
No, friend, you don't have to live on a place where the thorns, everything you set out to do, it brings forth thorns and thistles and briars and all manner and brambles and all manner of things that's of no benefit. You can't eat it. It won't sustain you. It makes your life miserable. You finally reach the point that you give up. Thank God we can reach that place that we give up and call upon the name of God. And then I tell you what He'll do. He'll change our location. He'll change our citizenship. He'll take us from being a child of Satan, a child of hell, and make us a child of God. I tell you, friend, God. And here's another one. We could go on all night, I'm sure, and beat around and ramble around, and maybe you feel that way that we have tonight. But I tell you, I read about a young man one day. He came to his father. He said, "Father, give me my inheritance. Give me that that's mine."
Yeah.
The Bible said he went into a far country, wasted his substance with riotous living, joined himself to a citizen of that country. And I tell you, friend, the last account we hear of that boy in that land, he's down in the hog lot.
Mm-hmm.
Down there, they put him out there feeding the swine. And the Bible said he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, but no man gave him. Now I'm going to say this. It didn't say he was eating the husks. It said he would fain. If you look that word up, F-A-I-N, fain, it means he would have liked to have eat that. You say, why didn't he eat it? I'll tell you why. Because the hogs would have eaten him if he'd have tried it.
Yeah.
They would have destroyed him. I'm going to tell you, friend, those things that we are trying to feed ourselves from the things of this world, will destroy us.
Yes.
But the Bible said he came to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he said these words, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare?" And you know what he said? He said, "I know what I'll do. I will arise, and I will go unto my father, and I will say unto my father, Father, I have sinned against thee, and in thy sight." And he said, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of the hired servants." And when he came into the father's house, when he was still a long way off, the Bible said that the father saw him, we know this, ran, fell on his neck, kissed him, told him, "Bring a ring, put on his finger. Bring those shoes, put them on his feet. Bring the best robe, put on, and kill the fatted calf. This is my son who was lost. Now he's found. He was dead. Now he's alive."
Amen.
Where am I tonight? Am I dead? Or am I alive? Am I lost? Or am I found?
Amen. Jesus, bless you. God bless you.